Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 244 of Beyond the Supernatural. My long recording session continues. I'm brewing more coffee, decaf this time, but I'm hoping that psychosomatically it helps pick me up in this, the final leg of our journey together through the bestiary of Beyond the Supernatural. And in this moment, my thoughts turn to feelings. What are they? Why are they so stupid? Why do we sometimes have such a hard time holding on to the feelings that we appreciate and enjoy, the ones that make our lives worth living? And why are we sometimes overcome by negative feelings, feelings that we hate, feelings that spread their miasma across our lives, and yet we can't help but revisit them, as though we're lost in the woods of our own lives, and try as we might to escape, we keep finding ourselves back at the same rotted stump to find that we've been walking in circles. Sometimes the answer is simply that we're down to decaf, but there's also something about the nature of emotions themselves, the way that positive and negative emotions just hit differently. This is something I've contemplated from time to time, and it is why I feel qualified to address what I consider to be a factual error on today's page of Beyond the Supernatural. We are discussing the Entity colon Poltergeist, the first of the entity creatures in this bestiary. These are basically like immaterial beings who are sort of ghost-like but not quite ghosts, and the poltergeist is the least threatening of them. Quote, "The poltergeist, known as the mischievous spirit, is a wild, wandering supernatural force with a minuscule intelligence. The odd little energy being flies about looking for a good source of potential psychic energy to feed upon. It is especially attracted to ley lines and nexus points and families with children, psychics, and practitioners of magic." Once the poltergeist finds a place like this, it locks into the place. It makes that its home base, its lair, and it starts feeding on the potential psychic energy of the people there. This in itself is pretty much harmless. It sets up in places with kids or psychics or whatever who have PPE to spare. It doesn't need a ton. So far, so good. The poltergeist has it within its power to be a decent roommate who just siphons off a little PPE, and you literally never know it's there. However, unlike a good roommate, a poltergeist can never quite seem to keep itself out of your personal shit. Quote, "Poltergeists are very rambunctious beings whose idea of fun and play is moving, throwing, and hiding physical items, and that's where trouble comes in. The dopey creatures love to play, and who better to play with than those lumbering, two-legged, flesh-and-blood creatures called humans? Furthermore, poltergeists can drink human emotions." It goes on to say, "Intense emotions such as anger, love, and fear are tantalizing to the mischievous spirits, giving them a drug-like euphoric high." So, just draining a little bit of your PPE, eating a little bit of your food, sheltering under your roof, the poltergeist has all it needs, but that's not enough. It doesn't just want food and shelter, it wants to get high. And it gets high by getting on your last fucking nerve. We were talking some time ago about rationalizing monster behavior by saying that they feed on negative emotions. This is the greatest example of that. And for this specific monster, I think that it works. So okay, I'm on board conceptually with the poltergeist. It could just chill out being bored, but instead it uses its psychic powers, like its telekinesis, to evoke emotions that it can feed on. However, I have an objection to what comes next. Quote, "It's only a matter of time before these entities realize that fear is the easiest emotion they can evoke in humanoids, so that's the one they try to elicit most often. Throw stuff around, make weird sounds, make people scared." The text goes on to say, quote, "When scare tactics don't work, silliness, laughter slash humor, is the next best method of evoking strong emotions." And it goes on to explain some ways that a poltergeist can make people laugh, like, quote, "lifting a person into the air," quote, "messing up their hair," quote, "making utensils dance," "stacking objects," oh, "stacking objects, stop, my sides are splitting," quote, "blowing out candles," quote, "moving a chair or object to cause someone to fall," etc. First of all, these jokes are not working for me. Maybe you had to immaterially be there. But secondly, and more importantly, and this is where I object on a factual basis to this entry, I think this is the dumbest thing on this page. We all know, on a list of emotions that explicitly includes not only fear, but anger, there is no earthly possibility that humor and laughter are easier to evoke, via telekinesis especially, than anger. I'll maybe give you fear. It's a poltergeist, it's invisible, it's spooky, it's supernatural, it's got telekinesis. I'll maybe give you that on like a cold call, this is like the poltergeist's first attempt to get high off somebody's emotions. Maybe fear is the low-hanging fruit in that scenario because you've never encountered something like this before. If something flies across the room at you, you're going to be scared first of all, and it's inexplicable and that's going to compound it. Okay, I cede the number one spot to fear, at least in the short term. But this text says that once fear isn't working, the next go-to is laughter. No way that is not anger. No way that's not anger. And anger, not only much easier to evoke even in the short term than laughter, but also, I would argue, easier to sustain in the long term than fear. Anger is the go-to emotion, especially when your only tool to evoke emotion is telekinesis. And I want to give you just a simple example. I'm going to keep it real simple here. We're not going to necessarily have to philosophize a lot about the nature of different emotions because there's a real simple thought experiment you can do. Imagine that there's a poltergeist following you, let's say all day long, right? As I record, we are still in the midst of the pandemic. People are spending a lot of time at home. So you're around the house where your poltergeist is all day long. I want you to think of three hypothetical scenarios. Number one, there's a poltergeist that is continually pushing and throwing objects in a perilous way to make you scared. Number two, there is a poltergeist telekinetically causing like your knife and fork at dinner to dance whimsically on the table, or throwing pies in people's faces, or I don't know, drawing dicks on pieces of paper around your house, whatever. Whatever you can do to make people laugh with telekinesis. That's happening to you all day. Hypothetical number three, every time you try to open a drawer or pick up an object, a telekinetic force slams the drawer or slaps the object out of your hand to make you angry. Right off the bat, I grant you, having an object thrown at you, that's the biggest adrenaline hit. That's the easiest emotion to evoke. I'm not sure that I laugh at dancing cutlery even once, but if I do, it gets old fast. Fear, you're definitely going to get me right away. If an object flies at me, I'm getting a big boost of adrenaline. I'm going to be afraid. I think I'll also be real angry if something just flies out of my hand for no reason when I'm trying to pick it up, especially, and this is crucial, especially if it immediately happens again. I'm drinking my coffee right now, my decaf coffee. If I lifted this to my lips and it got slapped out of my hand by an unseen force, I'd be pissed right off the bat. If I picked it back up and it immediately got slapped out of my hand again, I would be over the roof furious right off, immediately. You let me pick it back up, let me get comfortable for like 30 seconds, then slap it out of my hand again. My adrenaline is now at the level of that initial, like, got something thrown at my face. Anger has already matched fear. Now, consider in this hypothetical scenario, how are you feeling a couple of hours from now? How are you feeling at the end of the day when you go to bed? This has been happening to you all day long, one of these three scenarios. How are you feeling next week? You start to gird yourself against fear, I feel. You start to work on the problem. You start to make moves. You acclimate to these basically harmless attacks on you because the poltergeist doesn't want to hurt anybody. I mean, it may accidentally hurt somebody, but it's not really trying to kill you. It's just trying to make you feel something. After a couple days, especially after a week, I feel like the fear has subsided quite a bit. I'm still feeling afraid, but it's more like a low simmer on worry. A lot of anxiety. Laughter? Forget about it. I'm out of telekinesis-based humor after 1 hour, I feel. I mean, we're talking about prop comedy here. I'm not laughing. Anger? After 1 week of continually getting things slapped out of my hand and getting doors and cupboards slammed on me just as I open them to try to get something, after 1 week, I am still fucking livid. If I'm still, from time to time, like just as soon as I relax and stop thinking about it, getting a coffee cup slapped out of my hand by an invisible force after 7 days, I'm still pissed every time that happens. And it doesn't have to get predictable. And it never has to do any heavy lifting, this poltergeist. I'm in the bathroom, trying to pee, toilet lid goes down. Lift it back up, toilet lid goes down. Okay, you know what? I'll sit down. Great. Thanks, poltergeist. I'll pee sitting down, and then I get to pee in peace. Then I go to wash my hands, water turns off. Fuck! I'm angry just thinking about it. It is factually incorrect that laughter is easier to evoke than anger with telekinesis. That is the dumbest thing on this page. And I think it is not only an error, I think it is falsified to make us more sympathetic toward the poltergeist, to make us see it as, oh, poor little spirit puppy, poor little playful thing, which I was very happy to feel about the brain burrower. And the brain burrower was eating my brain, and I still felt more sympathy. This is rigged to try to make me sympathetic toward the poltergeist, because in reality, I mean, look, guys, if we're going to be realistic about poltergeist activity, in reality, a spirit like this that feeds on emotions is going to go straight to anger. As soon as fear stops working, straight to anger. And that is going to make this probably the most infuriating monster you're going to come up against. So resist the urge to feel sympathy for this dopey little puppy of a spirit. This is an angry dog in your fucking house, and it needs to be dealt with as such. Join me next time as we discuss other ways that a poltergeist could be harmful to your family environment on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am MegaDumbCast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.